Hey, well, good morning. Good to see you here. I was thinking, as Pastor Greg was just talking about my turn to preach for about baptism, he did it last year, I realized that there may be some concerns about next year. You know, because next year, it'll be Pastor Greg's turn to preach, and I just want to alleviate any fears. I'm not going to stand here in front of you with a guitar and sing. So if you were worried about that, I'm letting you now. You don't worry about it. You've got a year. In a year time, when you come back again, we're doing this again. I'm not going to be, singing and dancing and that type of thing. I have a little joke with Greg. My dad was here, and we had ordained him this last year, and he goes, I never saw a guy be able to sing and lead worship with both feet off the ground at the same time. As a matter of fact, we've captured the picture of that, and I'm going to show you that a little later on. But I just want you to don't worry about that. I'm not going to sing and play and that type of thing. We'll find someone who can do that type of thing. But this next 7 weeks, we're going to be starting this series next week called Forgotten God. And you saw Francis Chan, we're going to use his book there. Matter of fact, you go get his book, and you'll find out the 7 chapters. Greg and I are going to be using those chapters. We're going to derive our messages from them and preach on them right from that book, using that book, and looking at, because that's our desire. Our desire is that we see followers of Jesus, authentic followers of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this life that God's called them to live. That's what we want. That's what we want for all our people. What we're going to do after those messages each week, we're going to have small groups. We have women's groups, men's groups, we have couples groups, we have there's this group called the Strugglers Group. Every group in the church is going to be using this 7-week series and going through that again. So if this is something you're interested in, I would say check it out. Come check this out. Get involved in it. And it'll be a good... I went through it. It's a good series. It's going to change your life. Matter of fact, today's message, I started out preparing for it. Actually, I was preparing for a message that I'm going to speak in 3 Sundays from now that's about a forgotten God. And it's talking about the theology of the Holy Spirit that week. And we're looking, the main scripture was from Acts chapter 2. And it really got into talking about baptism. And I say, there it is. This is what I need to talk about from today. So that message, you come back, you get the second part of it on that day if you happen to like it. If you don't happen to like this message today, still come back if you want. I'll try to do better. But this idea about baptism, what is it really all about? We have a lot of questions. If we raised our hands here about how many of us were baptized in different ways, we would have many hands going up. There's many different traditions out there, many different expressions. But we're going to talk about how is it that we see baptism involved in our church. And I want to say right out from the beginning, if it comes from a different expression than you're at, we're not looking to be offensive here. We're not looking to cause arguments. We're not looking for someone to say, no, that's not how it was for me, and stand up and have a debate with me right now. I'm not looking for that either. First of all, I'll lose the debate. I'm not a very good, get Greg up here, he'll win the debate. But we come from different experiences. We're going to show you what, as we look to Scripture, what we believe Scripture is saying to us and how we live our life on this. So we turn to 2nd chapter of Acts. And what's going on here is Jesus had died. Third day, he rose again. He lived among the people for about 40 days. And then, the first part of Acts is when Jesus goes back to heaven. All right, that's about 40 days after his resurrection. He goes back to heaven. He says, look, I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait there until he comes, but I'm going to send him to you. So the followers of Jesus, there was about 120 of them, go back to Jerusalem. Now, they're kind of afraid. I mean, Jesus was just killed because of how he lived his life. And these followers of Jesus want to live their lives after Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower. They live like Jesus lived. They're kind of afraid. They're in this upper room. They're praying. And 10 days, we call it Pentecost Sunday, 10 days after Jesus' resurrection, The Holy Spirit comes, and it comes like a wind, and it blows, it shakes this upper room that they're in. And the Holy Spirit fills the people, and they said above their heads there were these things like tongues of fire, and that these men were speaking in different languages. They go out in the morning, and they're starting to witness about Jesus, and they're all speaking different languages, and the people around them thought they're crazy. They're in the marketplace. They're thinking, these guys are crazy. These guys are drunk. And Peter goes, wait a minute. They're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Who's drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? He goes, they're filled with the Spirit. But the people around, they were from all these different nations, all these different languages, and they were hearing the gospel in their native tongue, as the Holy Spirit filled the first Christians here. So to tie this all together, Peter gets up and he begins to preach to them, telling them about everything that has occurred and how they crucified Jesus. And if you look in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and you start out about the 36th verse, you see this. It'll be up in the screens. It'll be in the Bibles. There's pews in the pews. There's some Bibles there if you brought your own. Peter's saying this. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you and your children, for all who are far off, everyone from the Lord who calls God everyone from whom the Lord our God calls to himself. With many other words, he bore witnesses and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So Peter preaches really the first Christian message. After Christ has gone into heaven, he's filled with the Spirit, he preaches this message, people are hearing it, understanding what's going on. They lived this whole time, this month and a half after they knew what was going on when Jesus was crucified, when he died, and they heard the stories about him coming back to life. And now Jesus has gone to heaven. The disciples are filled with the Spirit. They go out. They see this evidence of people speaking in their same language. Peter gets up and preaches this message, and there's a conviction. The Holy Spirit is convicting people, and they're saying, what should we do? And he says, repent. Repent. What's repent mean? It really means this idea of turning away. It means this idea of turning direction. I was living this way. Now I'm living this way. God, I'm sorry for the way I was living. I was living a way that was counter to the way that you wanted me to live. I'm going to live this way now. That's what repentance means. It said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus, we sang this over and over again this morning. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Every one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But God says the gift of God is grace. The gift of God is salvation. It's a gift. It's not something you earn, you deserve, but God gives it to us. Jesus did that by dying on the cross, taking our sin, our shame, destroying it, rising again. So when we come to know Christ, when we repent, when we receive the forgiveness of our sins, now the Holy Spirit is promised to us. He enters us and we're changed. We're different people. We live now by this power of the Holy Spirit. And again, the next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking about how we live in this power of the Holy Spirit. But Peter is saying, now be baptized. And he said, that day, 3,000 people repented and were baptized. That day, 3,000 people received forgiveness of their sin. That day, the Holy Spirit entered 3,000 people. That's the great news. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. We're here to celebrate people's lives who have been changed, people's lives who have come to know Christ that way. When you see someone wearing an orange shirt, that's what they're saying. They said, I'm now a follower of Jesus. Some of you may have gone through what we call a believer's baptism. That's what you were experiencing today. But I thought what I would do is kind of lay out a little bit about what does baptism, what does it really mean? What is it all about? Why? Why should I be baptized? Well, the first thing we look at here, and by the way, in your bulletin, if you got a bulletin, there was an insert, and in there you can write some things down. If you didn't get a bulletin, you didn't get an insert, Pastor Greg has some in the back. He can just raise your hand. He'll hand it to you. But I would ask you to take this insert home with you and study for yourself what the Scripture is saying. I have some 52 different verses here, and I promise you I'm not going to go through all of them there because we want to get outside where we can do some baptisms here. But I'm going to encourage you to go and look up these verses and read them and ask the Holy Spirit to show you for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I've been known to be wrong before. There's at least one time, I don't know. No, I'm wrong all the time. Don't take my word for it. Go look to see what Jesus, see what God says about this. So that's why, as a Bible-believing church, we get into the Scripture. Hey, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. So take these things and use them. But we have this little outline. Why should I be baptized? The first one is to follow Jesus' example. Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, He was baptized. You go and you look in Matthew chapter 3, it says, and Jesus was baptized. Immediately he came up out of the water. There was this, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove, and he was baptized. Scripture tells us we're not greater than the person we say we follow. If Jesus was baptized this way, that's why we teach you ought to be baptized this way. We encourage you to be baptized this way. It's following Jesus' example. Who doesn't want to follow Jesus' example? We'd be better off following his example more often. One example I think of is Jesus all the time, he spent time with his Heavenly Father. And he said, I only do what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see him doing. Wouldn't we be better off if we did that? It's important for us to follow Jesus' example. Here we follow Jesus' example through the waters of baptism. The other thing we do here is to obey the command of Christ. Jesus said, go. Go, therefore, into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see that at the end of Matthew, at Matthew 28. Go do this. Declare them to the world. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So when we respond to baptism, we're doing two things here. One is we're following Jesus' example, and we're obeying his command. We're doing what he told us to do. Now, a lot of times in church, we would take baptism as an opportunity to invite people to become members. Do you know that in the New Testament, you don't see membership anywhere? There's no place that you're going to see, hey, do this, and now you're a member of this local church. We've kind of made it that way a little bit sometimes in our expression and how we do church, and as a, not just us here, but as a whole in our region, in our area, and it's not bad. That's not necessarily bad. Because what we do is we see that to unite with the body of Christ, we're baptized. You know, Greg and I are with some other pastors here every Tuesday. In this community, we pray together for our community. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We see like there's one Father, there's one Son, there's one Spirit. And whatever tradition, so we have different traditions here today. Whatever tradition you came from, we're baptized into that one hope. We tend to think immersion is the way you should do it, but that doesn't mean if you've done it a different way, it's wrong or bad. Because we have one Lord, one Savior, one Father in heaven, one Holy Spirit. And as Christian churches, as churches who look to follow Jesus, churches who look at what Jesus said and look to obey him, we're in that together. So when we're baptized, that kind of is like a statement that we belong with the family of God through Jesus. We sang that song earlier, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. That's what baptism is about. So that's why we should be baptized. One, follow Jesus' example. Two, he told us to. And three, it unites us together as a family. There's this Greek word out there called koinonia. It's about relationship with God and relationship with one another. This idea of baptism unites us together in our one faith. So what's the meaning of baptism? There's a scripture Colossians 2, 9 through 15. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to encourage you to go read it. But it talks about the celebration of the grace of Christ. Pastor Greg was talking about that as he was explaining some of the songs. This grace of Christ, it's a free gift. God offers us his grace so that we could be with him forever. He did that through his son dying on the cross. He gives us that. We deserve death. That's what we deserve. But because of Christ, because of what Christ has done for us, God gives us this amazing grace. And he saves us. He draws us to himself. In Colossians 2, it says, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith. You who were dead to your sin, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our sins, canceling our record of debt. This is a celebration of what God has done, the celebration of grace, this free gift that God gives us. There's nothing we can do to earn it. You can't walk enough older ladies across the street. Notice I said older ladies and not old ladies. You can't do enough of that. You can't feed enough poor people meals to get yourself to heaven. You can't do it. It's not about earning. It's about God giving it to us. And then this is about accepting it. If I have a gift card here and I'm trying to give it to Kyle, and here, Kyle, it's yours. When does it become his? When he takes it. God's offering us his gift of grace, of salvation through Christ. And it's yours. It's here. Take it. When does it become yours? When you accept it, when you receive it, when you repent, you receive the forgiveness of your sins. You see, we see on the cross that Christ died as our substitute. And then he rose from the grave as our Savior. That's what it's all about. That's what it means to become a Christian. That's what it means to become a follower of Jesus. And now, because of what Christ has done for us, we get to experience him and walk with him. We get to follow him, follow his example. Following Jesus' example doesn't make me good enough to be saved. I'm saved, and now I follow him because I get to walk with him because his Spirit now lives within me. The meaning of baptism is it's an illustration of the gospel of Christ. In Romans 6, it talks about that we were baptized into his death. The water represents the grave. We go into the water. We die to ourselves. One mom was telling me that you could hold down one of their kids a little longer than the other one. I won't mention which one, AJ, that was supposed to hold down a little longer than the other. But that represents dying here. So into the water is identification with Christ's death. Someone had to die for my sin. Someone had to die for your sin. And Jesus did that. So when we're going through baptism, it's an illustration of the gospel of Christ. We go into the water as Christ went into the grave. Then just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we can walk in the newness of life, we come out of the water. We promise you, parents, we will bring your kids out of the water. okay? We won't hold them down there too long unless you give it. We'll wait for a thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, if it's still down, we'll hold them down. Thumbs up, okay. Okay, Catherine, when we see the thumbs up, we'll bring them up, okay? But you come out of the water, and it represents this idea of participating in Christ's resurrection. I'm now a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're no longer alive. We're no longer ours. We're a new creation in Christ for a new purpose as well. So why or what is the meaning of baptism? It's also a proclamation of the glory of Christ. Go and read 1 Peter 3:15 through 22. And you see that this is a whole idea of bringing glory to Christ. It's participating in Christ's glory. Christ says, I give you my glory. We walk in that. We live in that. And it's a demonstration to those of us who are in the church. It's exciting to see what's gone on in the church. I look at people's lives here. You know, I look at I'm not going to try to embarrass anybody here, but I look at Mike and Nola. I know some of the stuff they've gone through, and I've seen where they've come this year, and it's amazing. And we give God glory for that. We praise God for how he's worked in their life. And as we come and we go through this baptism, it's a celebration. I mean, I don't know. Do we have any woo-woo girls here? Any woo-woo? You know, woo-woo? You know, no. We got some. Because we're going to need to be doing that outside. You know, it's like it's a celebration. No, it's not this thing. Oh, they got dunked. Get up. Okay, next. But we're going to be praising God. It's participating in his glory because we've seen the change in people's lives in the church. And you know what? It's also a demonstration. It's a proclamation to the world of what God has done. When we see the changed life, how God has worked in their life, people start asking the question, what's going on with him? There was one guy, he became a Christian and he was known to drink a little bit. And someone started kidding him. Oh, you're just following Jesus because Jesus turns water into wine, huh? And the guy goes, well, I don't know about all that, but I know he's turned beer into furniture. Because there's a change in his life. And that change proclaims so much to the world around us. As we are sent out by Jesus' command to go, people see that change. That's what baptism is all about. Now, it's important here. There's a verse, Mark 16:16. It says, whoever believes and baptized will be saved. So it says here, whoever believes and will baptize will be saved. What if you're never baptized? What if you only had true faith? Are you saved? And the scripture is saying here, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, it's important to read the next part of the verse, isn't it? And so I want to encourage you all, when you hear people quoting one verse and taking that and going using it somewhere else and different things, go read the context of it, because it's real important. Because there's been people who've made a theology out of this, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. I had this one guy, Bill, I told you a few weeks ago. Bill was he was a bookie in Schenectady. He ended up having cancer. I'm visiting him in the hospital, and I tell him, look, you need to know Jesus. You know, you're in rough shape here. And he comes to know Jesus. He repents, and he receives the forgiveness of sin. 2 hours later, he died. He wasn't baptized. Is he saved? The rest of the verse goes on, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. They're talking about belief. It's talking about true faith. It's not talking about a mental, cognitive idea. Oh, yeah, I think there's a God. I'm okay. No, it's about this repentance that takes place. It's about receiving the forgiveness of sin. It's this idea that I truly know, I truly believe. When I sat down in this chair, I had no doubts it was going to hold me. And I sat down. I entrusted myself. That's what faith is about. That's what salvation is about. So Jesus is saying, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. He doesn't say, whoever is not baptized will be condemned. It's about who you know and really knowing him. So I just want to throw that out there. Maybe you've known people who weren't baptized, or maybe you haven't been baptized. But if you know God, and you'll know God because we're told he gives us the Holy Spirit, repent and be baptized. for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have the assurance in your heart. You've been sealed by God, and you know. If you don't have that, question why you don't have that, okay? Question why. I'm going to use an illustration about being married later. No one didn't know they got married, okay? You got married, you knew it. No one doesn't know they don't have Jesus. It's either you got him or you don't. And I'm encouraging you today to make sure you know him. So the question comes into, how should I be baptized? We believe that the biblical mode for baptism is immersion. Throughout Scripture, we see that, immersion. They're known as the dunkards. They're known as baptisto. It means be put under the water. There's the washing. But it's the idea of fully immersed. Throughout Scripture, we see that. Especially in the New Testament, we see that. God bless you. That's what it's about. We go and we see that Christ set the precedent. Right? We saw in Matthew, we see in Mark, that Jesus was baptized. He came up out of the water. Immediately he saw the heavens tore open. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Jesus was baptized. He set the precedent. This is how I'd encourage you to be baptized. We see throughout the early church leaders that they set the pattern. It was the pattern that the early church leaders set to be baptized. All along, all throughout Scripture. I'm going to show a number of Scriptures later on. But in Acts 8, 36 through 88, we see Philip with the eunuch, and they're traveling on the road, and they're talking about this. And the eunuch says, what must I do? You know, can I be baptized? And Peter, or not Peter, but Philip says, do you truly believe? Do you truly believe? He goes, I do. He goes, then you can be baptized. And they got out, and they went down into the water and was baptized. We believe that immersion is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. Again, you go look at Romans 6, 1 through 4. We've been baptized into his death. We arise in Christ. The idea is the picture. Now there's a picture I'd like to show you up here. Who is that? See, I told you his feet aren't touching the ground. Who's that? Anyone know? Is that Greg? Is that Greg? Who thinks that's Greg up there? Raise your hand if you think that's Greg. Greg, is that you up there?
No, sir.
Who, that's not you up there?
No, sir.
Why, where are you?
I'm back here.
He's back there. But you see, this is a picture of Greg when he's worshiping. You know, you've seen him do that too. You know, there's no feet on the ground. It's a picture. And you see, and that's what this baptism by immersion is. It's a picture. It's an illustration of going down into the water, dying to yourself. Coming up, rising again with Christ, alive in Christ. Now, it might ask some questions. What if I was baptized in a different way? Now, I grew up in a different tradition, more liturgical. And I got to tell you, I love going back to the tradition I was raised in. I go through the liturgical stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, this stuff is good. This is deep. This is good stuff. Go through the Apostles' Creed. We go through all these different things. It's like, wow, rich, rich stuff. And part of that tradition, when I was, I don't even know how old I was. I was baptized as an infant. We see that as a little bit different. Probably many of you were baptized as infants. Whatever tradition that you may have come from. And you know, and I was talking with Greg about this, and he said to me, he goes, you know, I can see a precedent in that in Scripture. He goes, you look at John the Baptist, he was baptizing people before the death of Christ, before Christ's ministry, before Christ died on the cross for us, and he was kind of baptizing people for the repentance of their sins into a faith that was to come. And, you know, my parents, in our tradition, I was baptized as an infant into this faith that they raised me. I was 9 when I gave my life to Christ. I was 20 when I was really going to follow after him. Was that baptism significant? It was significant. It was good. Now, we don't baptize infants here. We tend to dedicate infants. And that's kind of what I saw my parents do in some way. But we're not saying that that's bad. If you were baptized like that, we're not saying, oh, that's no good. It's not validated. What we're talking about here today is what we call believer's baptism. A baptism that after I've come to faith in Christ, I now want to follow Christ's example, the precedent he set, the example he set. I want to follow what Scripture, what I read Scripture to say, and I too want to be baptized like Jesus was baptized. And I was 23. I felt this conviction to be baptized by immersion. And on this men's retreat, I was baptized. I felt I needed to do it. I felt I wanted to follow. This is a letting people know around me that I wanted to follow Jesus. So if you've been baptized in a different tradition, we don't look down upon you by any means. If you choose to be baptized today even, because of what Christ has done in your life, and it's a decision that you look to make, we invite you to do that. Any one of you can do that today. We may not have enough shirts, but we promise we'll stay here long enough to baptize as many people who want to be baptized. If this is the declaration of faith, the celebration that you want to join with us. The question comes down to is who should be baptized? And to be honest, everyone who's been born again should be baptized. Anyone who has repented of their sin and placed their faith in Jesus. We look at that in Acts 2. That's what Peter was saying. Repent and be baptized. For the forgiveness of your sins through Christ Jesus. That's where you're at. That's what it means to be born again. That you're a new person. You were dead, you go under, you come up, you're alive, you're new. That's what it means. That's what born again means. Everyone who's been born again, we believe you ought to be baptized in a believer's baptism. That's what many people are going to do. The next question comes into when. When should I be baptized? And you know what? We believe that you should do it as soon as you trust Jesus for salvation. You should do it. There's this idea that as soon as you can best publicly proclaim your salvation, you should do it. I had someone ask me last February, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Well, today was the day we're doing it. And he said, can you wait? We're going to do it together publicly here. So this is kind of the first opportunity for many people to be baptized. But that's what it's about. And again, throughout Scripture, we see the early church leaders. Acts 8:12, it was Simon the magician. He believed, so Philip baptized him and many others. You look down right after that, the eunuch. The eunuch said, what must I do? What prevents me from being baptized? He goes, if you truly believe with all your heart, you may. He goes, I do. And he was baptized. The Apostle Paul, before his encounter in Christ, he was known as Saul, and he was killing Christians. He was killing people who were followers of Jesus. And Jesus met him on this road and blinded him, knocked him down. And for 3 days, he's just sitting there. And God tells Ananias, Go pray for Paul. I don't want to do that. He kills Christians. I don't want to go see him. He goes and prays for him. These scales fall off his eyes. There's a repentance that takes place. Forgiveness of sins, the filling of the Spirit. And immediately Paul got up and was baptized. You see, right away he was baptized. Lydia in chapter 16, verse 15, her and her household responding to God were immediately baptized. You go down into chapter 18 of Acts, in the Corinthians, Paul is preaching. Many who believed what Paul was saying, and they were baptized right away. In Ephesus, upon hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this idea that we respond to God when we encounter him. We should be baptized as soon as we can. And we're going to do this. We'll even do it in February. We'll put the pool out there. We got another one under the stage here if we have to. But we want to be doing baptisms all the time. Because that's why we're here as a church. We're here for people who don't know Christ, who haven't encountered him, so that they can begin to encounter him, receive this forgiveness, and come to know him. That's why we're here. You know, I think another fine example of baptism really is marriage. Last Saturday, in response to God, Nola and Mike got married. And they wear a symbol of their covenant before God and before those who were present, before us now, that they're married. What is that sign? Don't you? You wear something now? You know, some 36 years ago, it would be September 20th, 36 years ago, I asked my wife out for the first time. She wasn't my wife then. I asked her out for the first time. I remember she agreed to be my girlfriend, and I kind of left. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of left. You know, I was 15 years old, you know, and it's like, what do I do here, you know? And we began a relationship. Her mother talked after we were married. I could see in your eyes you really loved Adrian. 7 years and one day later, we got married. And I put this ring on. I didn't put this ring on. This is my third ring. I have a fourth one at home in case I lose this one too, because it's real important to her that I'm wearing a ring. But I haven't been known to do real well with rings, so we kind of buy them in bulk, you know. This is my third ring, but. For most of my 29 years of marriage, I've had a ring on this finger when I could find it and all. When I'm doing a wedding, exchanging of rings is really cool. I have this little phrase I say, even though they're small in size, they're very large in significance. Made of precious metal, they remind us that love will cost us. It may cost us deeply. The circular nature reminds us that love must be continuous. We must keep it going. And I go on to say, whether we're apart or whether we're together, they're constant reminders to the covenant that we're making today with God, with each other. And you see, that's what baptism ends up being. It's a reminder today as we're baptizing people out here in the parking lot. It's going to be a reminder of those of you who have been baptized before. It's going to bring you back as a reminder of that. This is what it was about. For you who are being baptized today, you will remember this day. And it'll be a constant reminder of the public faith that you're making about who you follow now. That you no longer follow yourself, but you follow Jesus. Today's an awesome day. It's a day of great celebration. You know the beauty of baptism? Baptism is an essential and joyful declaration to the world that we belong, that we belong to Jesus. It's a great celebration. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to get up. We're going to take about 10, 15 minutes, and we're going to meet outside over here in the small parking lot. We've got a little pool there, and we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done in the lives of many people, in the lives of our congregation, in the life of this world. And again, we want to invite you. Maybe you haven't experienced believer's baptism as we've talked about, but you're a follower of Jesus, and you want to. Talk to Pastor Greg, talk to myself, talk to Pastor Joey. And we'll do baptism. I mean, all of you want to do it. We'll do it. Because we're celebrating what God has done in our lives. And we're declaring to the world, we belong to Jesus. Hey, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for how you've moved in our lives. Lord, we ask even now, as we've talked about this, that, you know, Lord, there may be people here today who have never encountered you the way that we've talked about. That's been and maybe gone to church, maybe been around Christians, but this idea of a personal faith, this personal relationship, hasn't encountered you. And as we close our eyes, as our heads bow, Lord, I just want to give a little invitation If there's someone here today who hasn't encountered you the way that we've been describing in a personal way, doesn't have this feeling of the Holy Spirit within us, Lord, I just ask that you move in their hearts right now. If that's where you're at and you'd like to talk to Pastor Greg, myself, or someone else about knowing Jesus personally, with everyone's got their eyes closed, would you just lift your hand up and say, I'd like to know more. That's where I'm at. I'd just like to know a little bit more about knowing Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you. Father, we do thank you and we do bless you. Lord, I thank you for everyone who's being baptized today. Fill them, Lord. I know that you've already filled them with your Spirit. Let them sense your Spirit in them. Lord, fill them to live the life that you called them to live. Today, Lord, we come and we bless you and we give you glory and honor. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, you're dismissed to go outside. Remember in the back, the boxes in the back, we asked if you're a guest, just put your card in there. Don't put any money in it. We're not here for your money. But we're going to, about 15 minutes, we're going to be over here by the pool. We've got a tent there with some chairs for especially some older people. If they need to sit under the sun, you go ahead and sit there. Let's meet outside. If you don't have a shirt to be baptized in, see Pastor Greg, Pastor Joey, or myself. The Maker King.